Well, guys, it wasn't quite the game that we envisioned when we looked at it last week. I'm not as surprised that, you know, the Patriots were able to come back with 28 points in 11 minutes. I think they had that in them. What I am surprised at is that first half in getting behind 31-3. That's the part that I think I didn't expect at all.
Well, I think what we got is the cliche, a heavyweight fight where both teams kind of threw some punches, both teams took some punches, didn't get knocked out, and in the end you kind of got a battle for a Super Bowl-type battle for it all. And you're right, you know, maybe you didn't expect San Francisco's offense to put up that many points, but I don't know if you really expected the Patriots' offense to put up that many points against the best scoring defense in football. So a lot, to me, this game, this 60 minutes, as much happened in that 60 minutes as is in any game I've seen.
Yeah, so what do we make of it? That's what we're left with.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff to be happy about for sure. I mean, the resilience that they showed, and I think that the championship pedigree, I think, in coming back is something to hang your hat about. But you know, I was very impressed with San Francisco's defense, especially in the first 2.5 quarters. And then I thought I was very impressed with the way they sort of gathered themselves. Like Andy said, they took their shots, and then the last 5 minutes, they dominated again the way they had in the first, 35 minutes. So both sides, I thought, had alternate periods where they were really, really good and really, really bad. A lot of sloppy play. We probably underestimated the possibility of the elements, and I think that affected both sides. The 49ers fumbled about 5 or 6 snaps. And, you know, Bill always jokes around, we're just trying to get the quarterback-center exchange down. Well, San Francisco couldn't. So a lot of good things, a lot of bad things.
In a lot
what
of ways,
you take of it, I don't know.
I would compare it to some of the old Patriots-Colts. You know, that certainly that 2006 AFC title game where it's, what, 21-3?
Yeah.
And then it goes the other way. And that's what you get when there's two teams that aren't going to give up. You know, we questioned sort of the integrity of the Texans last week. I don't think you have to question the integrity of the Patriots or 49ers. They're in this for the long haul.
No, and I think that's one thing that jumped out at me is the 49ers came to play. They came to win. The fake punt, throwing right off the bat against the Patriots, you know, with, you know, the young quarterback. They came to win the game. And I think every team this time of year that is a playoff contender, that's the way you have to look at it. You cannot play not to lose.
And you could argue they got what they wanted out of Colin Kaepernick, the switch to him at quarterback,
sure,
getting the ball down the field a couple times with some nice throws to Moss and to Crabtree and you know, making some plays with his legs, but not having that fear of throwing the football, not being a check down short passing guy. He took some chances down the field, and that's how they built their lead.
Absolutely. Now you go to the Patriots running game, which was something that we all thought that they had a build on, and very disappointing. The early fumbles by Ridley, lost one of them. Vereen comes in, he loses, and renders both of them basically out of the game for the rest of the way. Danny Woodhead comes in and really does produce, but down the road, now the question is, okay, do you go back to Ridley? I think you do, but with a short leash, right?
I think personally the coaches have to go back to Ridley. I don't think you can give up. You know, they started in the spring, so can you give up, you know, 6 months of work because he fumbled in a damp game against maybe the hardest hitting defense he's ever going to face?
Well, even in the game Sunday night, after the first fumble, they did go right back to him.
Which wasn't a fumble. You know, got overturned, he hit the ground.
Oh, okay.
Right. After the second fumble,
he was done, basically.
And here's the thing. I agree with Andy. I think they will go back to Ridley, but let me throw this out there. I mean, it's not going to be Woodhead, because Woodhead's going to run the ball the way he did Sunday, when you're spreading it out and you're throwing it every down, and once in a while you throw a run in there. That's what Danny Woodhead's role is. But do you go to Brandon Bolden at all? You know, he had some production early in the season.
Again, he's throwing away Ridley. Ridley's the better player.
No.
There's a reason you drafted Ridley in the third round and the other guy was an undrafted rookie.
Yeah, we're not doing trash talk yet. Slow down.
Suspended. He had a great game in Buffalo.
A great game.
But there's no way
he had a great season.
But there's no
Ridley.
Yeah, but Bolden got suspended after that. There's no way you wouldn't have gone back to Bolden. You know,
so you're going to throw away the Ridley thing?
I wouldn't throw it away.
Because you only got 2 games left to make this decision, and then it's not cutting time. It's postseason.
I want to see what Bolden can do, too, because I'm going to probably need him.
Yeah. To me, he's your backup still. Yeah, you can get him some carries. But we're talking about, is Stephen Ridley still a major part of your offense and your lead back?
The answer is yes.
Okay, that's the right answer.
With a short leash.
No short leash. If he fumbles twice, yes, he's out. But not with one fumble. A medium-length leash.
You getting that?
One of those leashes that comes out, it's spring-loaded, so it's got a little play.
All right. Well, I think the worst thing that happens in the game is that it really hurts the Patriots' chances for a bye. Right now, they're the 3 seed, and with Denver's remaining schedule, doesn't look like they're going to lose a game. Probably Houston would need to lose 2 games in order for the Patriots to leapfrog them. So it looks like at this point the Patriots will probably end up with that number three seed. Could be 4, but probably the 3 seed. Does it change the way you look at the playoffs for the team?
Well, I think it makes it harder. It's a longer road, literally. You have to play an extra game, and we're already talking about injuries and guys forced into roles and the secondary and returners and all that. It's sort of, I said this to you earlier today, it's sort of like when you pick a pass off in the end zone and everybody goes, that's a 14-point swing when you bring it the other. Right. Well, this is a two-week swing because you not only don't get a week off, you have to play a physical game in all likelihood against a team like maybe the Bengals or the Steelers. Well, now you come out of that, now you're going to have to travel to Denver or Houston. It's a longer, more physical, more draining, more difficult road.
One element of the Patriots' defense that I thought was making some strides was the pass rush. The last few weeks, I thought there's been a little bit more pressure on the passer, a little bit more blitzing, and I thought with Chandler Jones coming back from injury, that would get even better. But really, so far, since Jones has been back, he's been very quiet. I'm wondering if he's still dealing with some effects of that ankle injury, because right now, he's been awfully quiet. I know he's a rookie. I know he's getting a little bit late in the season, maybe dealing with hitting that rookie wall, but they need more from him on the outside. They need more pressure on the passer from Chandler Jones. Another area of concern for me is the return game. A little bit more subtle, but I don't think they've gotten a lot out of the kicks or punts in that regard. Wes Welker is handling punts without Julian Edelman. I know that's out of necessity right now because he's the most sure-handed guy they have, but really lacks the explosiveness, especially at this stage of the season. He's been beaten up with those 100 catches. He's taken a lot of hits. But really, on kick returns, I think you could get more than you're getting out of Devin McCourty. And this is an area I thought was a key element Sunday night against San Francisco. But Michael James, with the fresh legs, I thought, gave the Niners a lift, obviously with a 62-yarder that set up the game-winning touchdown. That was a big play in the game. The Patriots had some chances to come back the other way, and McCourty really thus far, with one exception against the Jets early in the season, hasn't been able to do that. The Patriots need more out of that return game. Offensively, it's hard to really argue with anything the Patriots do. They consistently move the ball. They consistently score points. And with the exception of Sunday night, they consistently take care of the football. But there's been some trends here the last few weeks that I'm not really happy with. And one of those is that early in the year when they were trying to stay balanced and run the football, I thought they did so at the expense of the passing game at times. I thought they put themselves in some holes offensively that sometimes they were able to get out of because Tom Brady is so good. Other times, like Sunday night, I thought they ran the ball a little bit too much early, and ultimately they fell behind. I want Stephen Ridley to get the ball. I want Danny Woodhead to get the ball. Brandon Bolden, that's fine. I don't need to be balanced. I want the Patriots in a spread. I want the ball in Tom Brady's hands. It doesn't have to be 100-0. But I don't necessarily want to fall behind at the expense of trying to run the football. I think the Patriots are at their best when Tom Brady has the ball.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
The biggest thing we do is we don't look at the record.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
All right, images of the week. Boy, I'll tell you, some were good, some weren't that good. This has to stop. A loose ball on the turf. I picked this one just because it's a cool picture. Finally, before the game, it was a very somber scene as all the players had a moment of silence for the Sandy Hook victims.
Player's Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joined now by Patriots guard Logan Mankins. And Logan, coming off a tough loss, a physical game, where is the team's mindset right now heading into the final two games of the season?
Well, right now we're just trying to get back in the right direction. Try to go down to Jacksonville, play a good game, start executing better again, and hopefully get on another winning streak.
Are you a believer in momentum? Because you guys did have a long winning streak that was snapped this weekend against the 49ers. And do you need to get that going again heading into the postseason, get some momentum?
I don't know if it's momentum or I think a lot of times we just call it playing good football. You know, everyone's doing their job. Everyone's focused, working hard, and executing the right way. And I guess you could call that momentum.
Heading into this game against Jacksonville, you guys have played two huge primetime games. Us in the media hyping it up, best team in the AFC, best team in the NFC. How do you get ready for a team that isn't the best in the AFC, doesn't have 11 or 12 wins? It's a 2-12 football team. How do you get ready for that?
Well, we the biggest thing we do is we don't look at the record. We look at the players, their schemes, and when we watch them, you see some good players out there, and you see them do some good things. So we know any given Sunday, any team can play their best football and beat you. And whenever we play a team, we get their best shot. I think nothing would be better for some teams around the league than to beat us, and we always get a great shot from everyone.
And finally, I want to ask you about your personality on the football field, because as people can see right here, you're one of the nicest men to ever talk to in the locker room. But then you get on the football field, and you're a wild man, and you like to push the envelope after the whistle. Reminds me a lot of Rodney Harrison, who was very similar. Nicest man in the locker room, get on the football field, and borderline evil. How would you describe your personality on the field, and where does that come from?
I don't know. I think I'm just playing hard. They're coming at me, so I'm going to go at them. And, you know, it's just I don't ever want to be the guy getting pushed around out of there. And I've always tried to play snap to whistle and hit them and don't let them hit me.
Bounce back week for the Patriots, and thankfully for them, they have a team suited for just that, the 2-12 Jaguars. Not an overly talented football team, but one thing they do have, a couple big play receivers. Rookie Justin Blackmon has over 50 catches. Cecil Shorts, 19 yards per catch, 1,000-yard season. They've combined for 10 touchdowns. Big plays were a bit of an issue against San Francisco. Need to tighten it up in the secondary against Jacksonville. For the Patriots' offensive line, the biggest challenge is dealing with their own injuries. The five-man unit across the board, banged up. Nate Solder, injured. Sebastian Vollmer, injured. Maybe the only guy who isn't banged up is center Ryan Wendell. Not a huge matchup problem with Jacksonville. Not a great defensive line or defensive front. Jason Babin, maybe the most dangerous guy, and he just joined the team. But the challenge is to put it all together as a cohesive unit for Dante Scarnecchia's crew that is limping towards the postseason. Bill Belichick, if you're listening, and I know there's only an outside chance of that happening, but earmuffs right now. I'm going to say something you won't like. I think the Patriots' biggest issue this week is staying healthy. Taking on the Jaguars, not a very good football team, even though it's on the road, even though they played tough a little bit of late. They are not good. Patriots' biggest challenge, staying healthy, no big plays, no turnovers. Treat it like a preseason game. Get out of Jacksonville healthy.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You think the NFL stinks across the
right,
board.
There's
no good teams.
There's not.
So why are you so up in arms about two more getting in there? I don't understand.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
You know, one of the things that this season reminded me of most of all when it comes to quarterback play is it's mental. You know, you can be tough, you can be big, you can have a great arm, but if you don't have it upstairs, you're not going to make it in the NFL. I mean, look at some of these guys that are just failing. Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez. The one thing that they're lacking is not arm strength or accuracy. It's mental. They collapse under pressure, under adversity. And if you watch the 49ers game against the Patriots, it also reminded you of what you can do if you are mentally tough. Look at the comeback that Brady had. Look at why Jim Harbaugh decided to go with Colin Kaepernick instead of Alex Smith. With Smith, he had to be conservative. With Kaepernick, Kaepernick has the mentality to go out and try to win games and not just simply try to not lose them. Mental toughness and being smart is the key to being a good quarterback in the NFL.
So the Seattle Seahawks have a 47-17 lead on Sunday and they decide to run a fake punt. So maybe the Patriots aren't the only team in the league that likes to run up the score after all. How about that? But here's the difference. Pete Carroll decides it was a mistake. He wasn't supposed to fake the punt. It was something he said they had in the game plan based on a certain look that the defense gave. Buffalo was in that look and it was an automatic check. And Pete Carroll said he should have taken that check off given the score. That's the difference between Seattle and New England. Pete Carroll can't even have enough conviction to run up the score right. When you do something like that, you want to kick sand in the other team's face, own up to it. You're Colonel Jessup. You're right, I got the fake punt. I'd do it again, and I'm going to go back to my team. That's why Pete Carroll will not win in the end.
I don't know if he's the MVP, and I know Patriots fans are pulling for Tom Brady, but Adrian Peterson is having a ridiculous season. Remember when Wes Welker was coming back off his ACL? He wasn't the same. He had a down year, didn't get 100 yards, didn't make the same plays after the catch. Adrian Peterson has been an absolute beast this year. He's challenging the NFL record in rushing, and he's doing it with not a very good football team around him. He's carrying the Vikings. He's maybe the most violent runner in football. He can turn a broken tackle into an 80-yard run at any point. He may not win the MVP, but Adrian Peterson is the best player on the field in the NFL this season.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The NFL is thinking about expanding the playoffs, but is that really a good idea?
A good idea? It's the worst idea I've heard of since Crystal Pepsi, and you probably liked that, which is, I'm guessing, you like the idea of expanding the playoffs. A debacle. Let's let more bad teams into the postseason. We're late in the year now, and we already have sub-500 teams in the playoff hunt. We've had bad teams in recent postseasons, and you know what happens now if you expand it? The bad teams that were even worse than the bad teams are in the postseason. Be good. Stick to your standards. You're not hockey. You're not basketball. You don't let half the league into the postseason. You have an important regular season that everybody watches every Sunday because it matters.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a typical overreaction from uninformed fans like yourself. I'm
a professional. I'm not a fan.
What I want to avoid here is the buys. I don't like the buys because I think it's an unfair. I think it's an unfair advantage. I was about to explain why I didn't like it. I think that unlike all the other sports, you offer teams to win a championship in the NFL by playing fewer games. I don't like that. I want to make it the same for everybody. I think part of the chore of winning a title is winning that battle of attrition in the playoffs and having to win X amount of games to get there. And I don't think it's right that in football, you only have to win three. In other sports, you have to win more than that. To me, that inequity needs to go. I understand you're going to let some mediocre teams, but if they're so bad and so unworthy, they shouldn't be a problem. In the other sports, everybody plays all the other teams. In football, you don't. There's only 16 games. That means one team, Indianapolis, for example,
well, first of all,
has a much easier schedule than another team. Cincinnati, for example,
they don't
have
play a
much
balanced
easier,
schedule,
and they have a
you
much
don't play
easier
all the
chance.
Teams the same number of times, so it's the same thing.
You have the same.
You play a different schedule.
No, I'll inform you now. When you're in the same conference and you're fighting against teams in your conference to make the playoffs in other sports, you do play the same balanced schedule.
Well, you play the same schedule in your division, by the way. No, that doesn't. It's not the same.
No.
Oh, okay.
When Cincinnati's division is a lot harder than Indianapolis is. Who's better?
Okay, then you shouldn't count regular season at all. It should just.
Why
be all reseeded
it?
Because you have divisions. That's the way sports work. You have divisions, you win your division, you go to the playoffs.
Right.
If you're the best team in your conference,
so
you
are
the number one seed.
I think if you want the best teams in football to be in the playoffs, you should have the same schedule, but you don't.
So
it's
then
impossible.
Blow it all up. If you want to blow the system
up add two
and
teams.
Reseed so that the NFC and the AFC is irrelevant, if it's just seeded 1 to 16 or however you want to do it, I like that idea a hell of a lot better.
What's the difference?
Because now, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You now have the best
you
teams.
You don't want 16 teams in the playoffs because you're watering it down.
And I certainly don't want 16
I can respect
with the
that
bottom
opinion,
four are bad, but, where I have to take an extra two from the AFC. If the best four are now
on.
In the NFC,
so
then I'm more for
so
that.
So
in the
okay.
end, I'm not for expanding anything.
So you're okay if an 8-8 team from the NFC because they're better.
If they're the best, I'd rather have them than another team in the AFC that's actually worse than them.
No,
I don't want any 8-8 teams in. You know what I like? I like where 11-6 is close to the cutoff for football. If you're 11-6, there's a good chance you're going to the postseason. If you're below that, there's a good chance you're not.
Now
that's
it's just
football team.
Now it's just changing the regular season.
11-5.
We got 11
I mean.
And 16.
You know what that tells me? You're worried about your argument. You got to start to make jokes.
I'm not worried about my argument.
I understand firmly. You want it to be easier. That's what you want it to be.
No, I want it to be harder. I want every
team
to have to win the same amount of games.
In the regular season.
No, I want every team to have to win the same amount of games to win the title.
The regular season easier.
That's harder.
Because you can sleepwalk through, get yourself another 7 or 8 seed, and get hot at the right time and win it all. No, devalue.
If they're the best team?
Take October off because, you know, we don't need to win the number one seed.
If they're the best team?
It doesn't bring you anything.
So you just defeated your own argument. You're saying a team can have the 8 seed, sleepwalk through the thing.
Yes,
not be
you
very
devalued
good. Bad teams make the playoffs, and now you got them winning
because
the Super Bowl.
You'd have teams
maybe that 8 team deserves to be in the playoffs if they can make a run like that.
No, so you'd have teams manipulating.
You just defeated your own argument.
Actually, I did.
No further statements
okay.
from me.
Okay, if you're not going to pull the cotton out of your ears, then I guess we're done.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, it's question time on the show. These are the ones that you sent to askpfw at patriots.com. But first, as always, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Thank you, Fred. And no surprise, the 49ers, after a big win here at Gillette Stadium, have moved into a first-place tie in the rankings with the Houston Texans, the last two teams that came here to Gillette.
Patriots must be right behind them.
Patriots actually dropped five spots. If you remember last week, we had a four-way tie for second in the rankings. Patriots are now seventh, dropped down a little bit behind the Packers, behind the Broncos. And interesting, number four, Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks, rising up the rankings. On the other end of the spectrum, I think maybe the most interesting team in the rankings, 27th overall, your Indianapolis Colts, a 9-win football team. But you know what? The numbers tell you they're a mirage.
So we have established it has nothing to do with how good a team is.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
I believe at this stage that you can accurately say that, Fred. Thanks.
All right, let's get to the questions. Matt Lucia has a question about Ed Hockley. He says he's in better shape. He seems almost lost on the field, like he has no clue what he's doing anymore. Almost every time a flag was thrown, he had to have a five-man meeting. What do you think about Ed Hockley?
I think Ed Hockley is one of the better referees in football. However, I think I am with the vast majority of the public that watches these games. He talks too much. I think everything takes too long. I think everything is a show. He's a lawyer by trade, evidently, and it seems like that's how he speaks. He's talking as if maybe he's, you and I were talking about this off the air, Fred, like he's making his closing statement all the time.
Right.
The explanations are too long. There are too many of them. Sometimes we don't need to hear. When you're not calling a penalty, we don't need you to get on the microphone and tell us you're not calling a penalty.
Right.
If you didn't call intentional grounding, you don't need to tell us why. You don't need to thank us for changing the time on the clock. You don't need to tell us that the buttocks was down and therefore the play is over. Just call the game. I think he's a good ref. I think most of the coaches will tell you that he's a good ref. And I think Bill Belichick would agree with that. I just could do without sort of the histrionics of the whole thing.
All right, that'll be the questions for this week. Send them every week to askpfw@patriots.com.